Pushkin's story is also coloured by the tense political situation of the early 20th century when it was written. The Golden Cockerel was Nikolai Rimsky-Korsakov's last opera. He completed it very quickly, within the space of a year in 1906 and 1907, but he died before its premiere could take place. That hold-up was thanks to wrangles with the censor over its portrait of a king who engages his country in constant warfare. That was a bit too close to the truth for comfort. Well, we're hearing a performance today with an all-Russian cast given at the Teatro Real in Madrid, with Ivor Bolton conducting. An astrologer, the tenor Alexander Krevets, begins with an epilogue to announce that he's about to show us a cautionary tale. Then Act One gets underway by introducing us to the quarrelsome King Dodon, the base Dmitry Ulyanov, who complains that he wants to stop fighting wars but doesn't know how. A solution seems to be at hand when the astrologer appears with a golden cockerel, who promises to sound the alarm whenever a conflict is threatened, so the king can safely snuggle up, forget all his worries and go to sleep. The king's overjoyed at this and promises to grant the astrologer whatever reward he wishes. But the cockerel then sounds the alarm. Annoyed, the king sends his two sons off to head two armies and goes back to sleep. When the alarm sounds again, though, he has no choice but to get up and, complaining bitterly, head off to lead the army himself. Act One of The Golden Cockerel.
пустою грудь, жизнь волшебную вдохнуть, здесь пред вами старый сказки
границы и поставим круг столицы, Thank you. l'ospizio, stagete mai ospizio. Certi cavola gradarit, sforzi miei pasolit, sotto noia d'Algenie, svegliamo io a genio, uno che voglio, ca istonio cax maio.
постарайтесь как-нибудь, чтоб не сидя, не уснуть. Пусть ни мига не теряя принесут мне попугая.
Thank you.
The bass Dmitri Ulyanov as King Dodon, reluctantly heading off to war at the end of Act One of Rimsky-Korsakov's opera The Golden Cockerel. He quickly discovers that his two sons have both been killed in battle, and the enemy turns out to be a woman, the beautiful but treacherous Queen Shemaka, the soprano Venyera Gimadieva. Dodon is immediately entranced. He sends away Polkan, his loyal commander, and succumbs utterly as the queen dances before him. By the end of her dazzling routine, he's putty in her hands and doesn't resist when she suggests they should return to his palace so they can be married.
Thank you. Vis
мужчины то.
Забор. Если мы прогоним рай, Согласна.
At the end of the second act of Rimsky-Korsakov's opera The Golden Cockerel, King Dodon has been conquered by Queen Shemaka. Dmitri Ulyanov and Venyera Gemadieva are the newly engaged couple, and Ivor Bolton conducts the chorus and orchestra of Madrid's Teatro Real in this performance given in June this year. The final act opens with an instrumental prologue for violin and piano, devised by Ivor Bolton and played by him with the violinist Gergana Gergova, based on themes from the opera Ephraim Zimbalist's Concert Fantasy and Fritz Kreisler's Hymn to the Sun. After that, the action on stage resumes with the bridal procession returning to the city. But there's a big surprise in store. The astrologer chooses this very moment to claim the new queen as his reward for introducing the golden cockerel. King Dodon refuses. An altercation breaks out and the king kills the astrologer. As the wedding procession resumes, the golden cockerel swoops down and attacks the king viciously. The sky darkens, and when light dawns once again, Dodon lies dead, and neither the queen nor the golden cockerel are anywhere to be seen. In an enigmatic epilogue, the astrologer reappears to assure the audience that what they've just seen is a fairy tale, and that only he and the queen were real people. All the rest was merely an illusion.
Thank you. Oh! чем кончилась сказка. Но кровавая развязка столь нетягостна, она волновать вас не должна.
Tale of partial truth and partial illusion, Rimsky-Korsakov's The Golden Cockerel, performed by an all-Russian cast of soloists at Madrid's Teatro Real in June. Tsar Dodon was Dmitry Ulyanov. The two Tsareviches were Sergei Skorohodov and Alexei Lavrov, General Polkan Alexander Vinogradov, the astrologer Alexander Kravets, Queen Shemaka Venera Gimadieva, Amelfa Olesya Petrova, and the little golden cockerel, Sara Blanche. The Teatro Real chorus and orchestra were conducted by Ivor Bolton. And our breaking free season continues with three more Russian operas. Shostakovich's Lady Macbeth of Mtsensk is our opera on three on Saturday at 6 o'clock with Nina Stemmer in the title role. While a week today in afternoon concert, Prokofiev's The Gambler is our opera matinee. And Tchaikovsky's Maid of Orleans is the following Saturday evening's opera on three. All part of our continuing season, marking 100 years since the 1917 Russian Revolution.
Breaking Free, a century of Russian culture on BBC Radio 3.
It's 13 minutes past four, and this is Penny Gore with Afternoon Concert. The BBC National Orchestra of Wales and conductor Thomas Sondergaard continue breaking free with music by Shostakovich now. In 1961, he produced a commemoration of Lenin and of the 1917 revolution in his 12th Symphony, four movements that give an almost cinematic portrayal of the events surrounding Lenin's triumph, beginning in revolutionary Petrograd, the city in a state of flux and seething popular unrest, with quotations in the music from a revolutionary song. The second movement is called Razliv, the name of the village near the Finnish border where Lenin took refuge in the summer of 1917. There are more quotations here. They come from Shostakovich's own early piece, Funeral March for the Victims of the Revolution. As the uprising finally mobilised, a shot from a cruiser moored in the river Neva was the signal for Bolshevik forces to lay siege to the Winter Palace. Shostakovich titles the third movement, Scherzo, by the name of that cruiser, Aurora. Finally, the dawn of humanity rounds off the symphony with a tribute to Lenin and the revolution in an almost feverish style, although with a reprise of the funeral march from the second movement.
Thank you. Thank you.
Shostakovich's 12th Symphony, the year 1917, first performed in 1961. We've just heard the BBC National Orchestra of Wales, conducted by Thomas Sondergaard, playing the symphony just last month at St David's Hall in Cardiff. Oh, one more Shostakovich symphony to come this week in afternoon concert as part of our Breaking Free season. The mighty Leningrad tomorrow, played by the BBC Symphony Orchestra under Semyon Bychkov. But to finish today, Shostakovich on a much more intimate scale, one of the piano preludes and fugues written in the early 50s and inspired by the example of Bach. Alexander Melnikov plays the first in the set, the prelude and fugue in C major.
Thank you.
Alexander Melnikov in the first of Shostakovich's Opus 87, Preludes and Fugues in C major. Join me tomorrow for more Shostakovich plus Tchaikovsky and Elgar. That's in afternoon concert from 2 o'clock.
On BBC Radio 4.
What do you do for leisure, for fun?
Alan Dean travels the world using the internet.
I didn't do something for fun for a long time.
Global conversations.
It's not just about losing hope, it's also about fear, because you would be surrounded with death.
I got a question in the interview, are you ISIS?
Your interviewer actually asked you if you were a member of the Islamic State.
Yes.
What do you hope to do?
Don't log off.
I hope I could find a home. That's what I wish for.
Starting on BBC Radio 4 this Saturday morning at 10:30.
This is BBC Radio 3. It's 5 o'clock and time now for In Tune with Katie Derham.
Well, thank you very much. Hello. Welcome to In Tune. Today we have Finnish quartet Metaphor, baroque conductor David Bates and baritone Florian Busch with pianist Justus Zion. It's going to be great. First, though, news read today by Jane Steele.
Theresa May has appointed the Work and Pensions Minister Penny Mordaunt as International Development Secretary. She's taking over from Priti Patel, who resigned yesterday because of her unauthorised contacts with Israeli politicians. Ms Mordaunt, like her predecessor, is a keen supporter of leaving the EU. The First Minister of Wales, Carwyn Jones, is expected to give a statement shortly about his handling of misconduct allegations against Carl Sargent, the Labour politician who's thought to have killed himself after losing his job in the Welsh Government. Mr Sargent's family has complained that he wasn't being given details of the claims against him and couldn't defend himself. Saudi Arabia has told its citizens to leave Lebanon immediately. Tension has risen since the Lebanese Prime Minister Saad Hariri announced his resignation on Saturday in a video statement from Saudi Arabia. Many in Lebanon believe Mr. Hariri was pressured into resigning by the Saudis. The independent inquiry into child sexual abuse has admitted breaching its own procedures by revealing a victim's identity, despite his right to anonymity. The inquiry said it was the seventh time it had been alerted to such a breach. A woman from West Sussex has been arrested by police investigating the deaths of 12 people in care homes run by the private company Sussex Healthcare. The woman is being questioned on suspicion of neglect and fraud. A man has been sentenced to 20 years in prison for killing a man and his daughter by setting fire to their home to try to cover up evidence from a CCTV camera. Daniel Jones had broken into a nearby house near Wakefield a few days earlier. Andrew Broadhead died in the fire along with his 8-year-old daughter, Kira. The actor Kevin Spacey is being edited out of a completed film which is due to open in cinemas in just 6 weeks' time because of allegations of sexual assault against him. His scenes in the Sir Ridley Scott film All the Money in the World will be reshot with the actor Christopher Plummer. The weather, rain will spread across the UK from the northwest throughout the evening, turning light and patchy in the early hours. Skies will gradually clear in the north and it will become colder with some showers. BBC News and weather at 5:02.
Jane, thank you. Let's get In Tune started with some Bellini.